It's the True Faith Podcast. Newcastle United soundly beaten by mid-table West Ham at home. 3-0. And if we're quite honest with ourselves, it could and should have been more. You've got myself, Alex Hurst, Norman Riley, Michael Carlin and Ben Wade on this Sunday morning to talk to you about this. We're going to talk first and foremost and primarily about the football and what happened on the pitch, because that's essentially why we all do this and why you all listen. We are also then going to talk about 11th minute walk-ins, fan reactions, atmosphere and potential boycotts in the second half of the show. Quick note to say that this show is partnered with Fans Bet, a unique gambling company. At True Faith, we turned down numerous opportunities to be sponsored by gambling companies, but Fans Bet give 50% of their net profits back to fan organisations that you of your choosing, such as True Faith, Leesers Flags, food banks, supporters trust, that kind of things. They also have committed not to do television advertising, which I think is a really positive thing for the gambling industry. So we're partnering with them. If you do like a gamble, check them out. If you don't, then please don't start on our behalf. You probably just lose money like we all do anyway. We're also sponsored by our patrons who pay £5 a month-ish, depending on the exchange rate, for about 4 to 6 extra shows in Newcastle United a week. We don't just talk about how good or bad we are. We do a lot of retro shows, a lot of light-hearted shows. But enough of that, onto this week's show. Norman, you're normally Mr. Positive. You're normally very confined positives in defeat, but walking away with you in the pouring rain to Central Station last night from the Gallagher end, you weren't happy. And why is that?
It was brutal. Yesterday was absolutely brutal. It was an absolute highlighting of a complete and utter gulf in class. And the reason that we're able to be in and around a side like West Ham, who've spent, you know, comparatively a ridiculous amount of money, who've got players who are way beyond what we have in terms of the natural football ability. The reason that we're in and around them is because of Rafa Benitez and his coaching staff. And there are going to be occasions where, unfortunately, Rafa and his coaching staff's magic just doesn't cut it when a team with significantly better players turns up and fancies it, and that's what happened yesterday. We were just soundly beaten by players who are better than us. I mean, obviously there are a couple of things additional to that. Our players performed poorly yesterday, no two ways about it. I'll try and get into some positives. There were a couple of good moves. The move at the end of the first half that could have led to an equaliser was brilliant football. Once again, Mo Diarmi was excellent. There's no two ways about it in what he does in breaking up play.
Controversial moment, because he's not Diarmi has picked up a lot of criticism on social media.
From what I saw, from my vantage point, I can't really fault Diarmi's performance given what he is as a footballer. His job is to basically make tackles and to break up play, and he did that. It's just a lot of his teammates didn't really do what they're supposed to do, and ultimately they couldn't cope with West Ham's better players, and Pellegrini pulled an absolute blinder. My pre-match optimism, you know, recorded for posterity on the match day podcast, saying that Pellegrini's picked two up front because he's going to go for an early goal, and I think that actually plays into our hands because it allowed them to dictate the ball more. Well, it completely backfired. It shows you what absolute little I know about football, and maybe I am talking shit about Diarmi as well, because as I say, I thought the two players up front was what was playing into our hands, but Pellegrini pulled a fucking blinder. He absolutely pulled a blinder. A bit like Rafa did away to Burnley. I think he surprised us by doing that, and it worked a treat. And we were not at the races in pretty much every aspect. I thought Kennedy would rinse Zabaleta. I thought Zabaleta would get booked. He did, but Kennedy was just completely off. He had one of those games where his body language and self-belief were just completely lacking from kickoff. And I think that's it's becoming a bit of a regular theme with Kennedy. You can usually tell within the first 5 minutes whether or not he fancies it. Richie had a shocker yesterday. We offered absolutely zero down the flanks. And it was just a performance that we need to put out of bed quickly. We've got an incredibly tough game coming up against Everton. And based on what we saw on Saturday, we'll get where arses handed to work again at Everton. But you never know. Rafa and the players, hopefully, you know, well, Rafa definitely, but the players themselves need to get together and say, like, we can't let that happen again, because if we do, then we're going to find ourselves in the bottom three on New Year's Day, which will be, you know, very, very negative. I'm struggling to find positives other than I still believe we'll bounce back because we still have a fucking brilliant manager. Go on, Alex. Go on.
So that's fair enough that you don't just have to provide the positives. Give us some more negatives. What do you think it was? Was it just an off day? One of the things you could probably say is, have we seen players playing above their level, the likes of Fabian Schär, and was yesterday more indicative against very good players of why, for example, Lascelles should be in the team, why, in fact, Lejeune and Lascelles are cut above Fernandes and Schär? Do you think it's that, or do you think we're just generally dreadful? Below the level? Like, what was it?
It's tough to answer that, really, because I suppose we'd need to see 3 or 4 games where we actually have our arses handed to before I could turn around and say, actually, you know, Lascelles is way above Fernandes and Lejeune's way above Schär.
We don't want to see a few more of them, Norman, please.
Exactly. So I suppose the only kind of way I can maintain positivity is by looking and thinking, you know, that was a one-off. You know, it might happen 3 or 4 times during a season, but hopefully it won't happen consistently. I think the players play above themselves. I think the whole squad in Newcastle in general, and this happened last season, plays above themselves because, you know, that they're coached and trained like magnificently by a brilliant manager. You put a lot of those players at other clubs under lesser managers, and I don't think they'd be anywhere near the levels that they've achieved. Of course, Lascelles, I think, was a massive miss yesterday, because I'm sure we'll go into this. Defensively, you were fucking shambolic, which is unusual. Actually, I tell you what, and maybe again, you know, I haven't watched any highlights, but I don't think Yedlin performed too badly yesterday, and I think he's been in good form. Now, you know, Alex, I'm sure if you picked up on anything by watching highlights, you'll mention them. But obviously, we know the centre halves yesterday were absolutely pulled apart. And yes, Lascelles is a vocal leader who kind of screams at players to get into position, and that was hugely missed yesterday. But God, it is tough to walk away. It was tough walking away yesterday, I think, as well. I don't know, that there was almost like a lethargy in there, and is that a result of having won 3 games off the spin and players maybe believing their own hype a little bit? I don't know. There's that possibility, but also you've got to put it down to the fact that West Ham fucking turned up. They really do. But when they do, and we know this, they've got a really good manager and they've got really good players. And when they turn up, when they fancy it, they can't turn anyone over. They turned Everton over away 3-1. You know, that's not a fluke. They beat Man U at home.
Playing almost the exact game plan as well.
Exactly.
I'll come on to a little bit more about that later, but I want to get the lads' thoughts first. Ben, again, you were kicking off down the stairs in the Gallagher. What did you see yesterday? Which, that apart from the 3 goals for the other team, what frustrated you most about yesterday's performance?
I'll answer that in a second, but just to add a slight positive to Norman's sort of one or two that he picked out there. I think as poor performances we had, and pretty much 1-11 had an off day yesterday, we still created some really, really good chances. Like, we could have easily on another day scored 3 or 4. Perez has a shot where he... Perez goes through and fluffs a shot where he works his way into the box. We had the Rondon's had about 2 or 3 shots blocked where he's brought the ball down in the box, and he should do better. He should test the keeper, but they either get blocked or he does something. For example, there was one where he brings it. He basically finds himself unmarked in the box. There's 2 of them at the back post. He brings it down and shoots, and the defender blocks it. That was pretty much like his positioning was exactly where he scored from Burnley. So we could have scored goals yesterday. We just weren't clinical, and we were a bit slow to get our shots off and allowed them to get back in.
I just think Fabianski's not made a save.
No, he had. Like, I'm saying the shots were blocked, but it's because people were taking so long to get either the shots off or they were just shooting off target. But as I say, it was one slight positive, and even then, I'm not sure it's a positive, because as you say, we haven't tested the keeper. But
Rafa will get them in Monday morning and just be like, lads, it's not all bad. Here's a reel of your block shots. Just imagine if they'd got through.
If they'd have got through 3 people, that was probably going in. So it's not all bad, lads. Keep your heads up. I mean, Norman was sort of starting to touch on it there. The defending yesterday was just embarrassing. Like, it was like watching us like defending on a 5-a-side on a Tuesday night, just so like slow to react and stagnant, and were just played into their hands. I mean, you're sort of talking about West Ham having some quality players. I wasn't really that impressed by them, in terms of, I don't think they completely like overran. I've seen bet teams come in and play a lot better than that against us. It was just they had one or two that looked really dangerous. So
clinical,
yeah.
No, clinical, yeah, Ben, that's what exactly. It is. They've got, the thing is, yeah, they're making them brilliant, but they've got players who are so good when they want to be that they're fucking clinical.
I mean, the two key players were Arnautovic and Hernandez. I mean, Hernandez is taking his two goals really well. And then Arnautovic just caused problems all day. I mean, there was, and to be honest, they could have probably scored another two or three as well. Just to carry out what I said before. So it was one of those, yeah, Arnautovic just bullied them, to be honest. And that was the disappointing thing, was we've just come from a game against Burnley where they literally were sort of facing the blitz in terms of they put their three big sort of tall lads on the pitch and we handled that really, really well and we're fronted up to it. Yesterday we just got bullied, and I don't know how. I mean, Arnautovic is a quality player. I mean, 25 million is starting to look like a bargain for West Ham when it was a deal that I sort of raised a few. Raised a few. I had to go buy some
all
extra stick on ones. I had to go buy some extra stick on ones just to raise them. So I mean, that was a real shock to me. But I didn't think he would fit with their West Ham, but fair play to him, he's been absolutely class for them. And yeah, it was just Fernandez, who's probably been one of the stars of our season so far, if you can call it that. I mean, by star, I mean the last three games. But I thought he's been really solid. But yesterday he just got bullied by Arnautovic and couldn't handle him. And then the most disappointing thing for me was the midfield battle. I mean, Declan Rice and Mark Noble. Mark Noble, like, let that sink in a minute. Like, Mark Noble played in a two-man midfield. So it wasn't even that they had the three men. I mean, Anderson Silva, you were thinking, I'll probably tuck in and make it a 3-on-2. But he didn't really. He kept the width there for most of the day on the left. And just, yeah, there was times where, like, Declan Rice was coming and taking the ball off people and sort of, I would say he put in the Diome performance that we normally expect. It was interesting you said sort of Diome had a good game there. I mean, yes, he was still winning the ball, but he wasn't as dominant. You expect Diome in that type of game against those two players, he should have been absolutely bossing that midfield. We should have been winning the ball back every 2 minutes. We should have had a much more intense press on them. But we didn't see any of that, and it was just, We allowed them to sort of dictate most of the play, really, and that was the disappointing thing for me, was that I thought Kane and Diome would absolutely dominate Noble and Rice, and they didn't, and as a result of that, it was very difficult to get any sort of decent pressure on them, and at no point, that's the thing, when you're playing games like that, you normally expect it to be waves, and you would have expected us to sort of come on and bring the pressure on them for the last 20 minutes, a bit like Burnley did to us, and other teams have done to us in the last few games where we've started really strongly. That didn't happen. I mean, we got worse as the game went on, and that just, you can't do that. We never had a sustained level, that sort of real sustained period of the game where we were putting West Ham under pressure, and that, to me, that isn't a sort of a great West Ham team whereby they should be coming in and knocking us over 3-0.
Mickey, bring you in. I've got a lot to come back on Bournemouth, but I'm keen to get Mickey's thoughts first. Where do you stand with the lads? Have you got any further criticisms to make or any bizarre positives to draw? Because I don't think the term positive could be used so far for
Not from what the lads have said so far. No, I think all of the negatives are reasonably fair about the performance yesterday. But I'm not certain it was as disastrous a performance as we're making it out to be. I think it's one of those games where nothing's really gone our way. Individual performances have been subpar across the board, and I don't think there's anyone really that comes out with any huge amount of credit. Firstly, I want to agree with Norman on Diome. I thought he was probably our best performer yesterday. He did his usual job reasonably well, and didn't deserve some of the reactions from the fans, which we'll come on to later on, I'm sure, that he got. I thought, however, West Ham weren't that good either, and you know, I think they've only had four shots on target and they've got three goals from it. No, there were three fucking poor goals to concede, and the first two in particular were literally caused ourselves by giving the ball away in stupid areas. On another day, though, maybe one of those three goes in, and we're still in the game. But I thought the overall performance from Newcastle, despite, as Ben said, making a few chances, and there was a couple of free headers as well from corners that we could have done better with. So I don't know. It's overall a very disappointing performance. But I think on another day we could have come away from that game with a point. And whether it would have been deserved or not is another question. But I don't think in the context of the last four games overall, I don't think it's anything we need to be overly concerned or knee-jerk reaction about. I think you get games like that every season where nothing really works out and you've just got to move on to the next one. And I think we're in a reasonably fortunate position this week where we've got another game straight away, so Rafa can get into the... I hope he's got them in a training today, mind. He can get into them a training and just tell them that's not fucking good enough, but you've got a chance straight away to put it right. And if I was him, I'd play the same 11 and I'd say to them, you lot need to make up for what you didn't do at the weekend.
we'll just get beat there. like Javier Manquillo against Theo Walcott. Like
Javier, get in again.
Well, we're going to do with the Everton preview for Patreon, so I'll go into it more then. But I would probably go back to the 3-5-2 against Everton. And I would probably bring Kieran Clark in a left back anyway if you're going to play four at the back, because at least he can defend. But sorry, Mickey, I interrupted there. Is there anything else you want to say?
Not particularly. No. Since you brought up Manquillo, I didn't think he was the worst of the performers yesterday. He wasn't the worst of the defenders. Thought the centre halves had worse games than him. But yeah, you're right. He is terrible at football. I said that on the match day on the preview. He's crap and he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, I mean, you've all raised some pretty good points there. It's hard to disagree with anything. Just wanted to touch on a couple of things. He's a spot on about the centre backs. If you look at like Rafa's darkest days at Newcastle, it's days when the centre backs are all over the place. Like our whole team and ethic and core is based on a stable like spine of the side, particularly starting at the back. And it reminded me of almost a year to the day since Watford turned over 3-0, and it was almost the same. Exactly the same performance and same outcome. In hindsight, and it's dead easy to say, Lascelles should have started that game. He was reported fit, and I totally understand why Rafa did what he did with Sheeran Fernandes, who people, including us, have been bigging up and saying have been fantastic, which is true because they have. Lascelles definitely needed to play that game to organise.
Instead of who?
Missed the first 11 minutes, so I don't know how that went.
I think he's got to come in instead of Sheer, he's got to play ahead of Sheer. I think Fernandes has been good with Lascelles as well, so I would put them two back in together.
Yeah. You'd argue that Kieran Clark should play left back, and I totally agree, Mickey, that Manquillo didn't particularly do anything wrong. And he had a couple of reasonable forays with the ball, but he's so right-footed. That and me and Norman were talking about this during the game. Kennedy was so bad yesterday, but it was almost like he just didn't trust Manquillo. He didn't trust him to get forward. He didn't trust him to pass him the ball. It was almost like he'd never met the bloke, which is worrying.
Who's this lad playing behind us? Where's Paul?
Yeah.
Where's my Paul?
So the back four all over the place. Central midfield, I think it's harsh because the good thing about Noble and Rice was that Noble and Rice were just hitting balls kind of into areas, knowing that their attacking players are mobile enough and quick enough and read the game well enough. I think is it the second goal? Noble just kind of punts the ball forwards in the general direction. He's not even looking at Arnautovic. He just like loops the ball over his head to Arnautovic, who flicks it on in the hope Hernandez and Scherr's playing him on side. It's like, because I think Rice and Noble looked a lot better because of their attacking players. Our attacking players yesterday were dire. As bad as we were at the back, and we were bad. I think you make a good point, Mickey, that West Ham only had seven shots and four. I mean, they should have scored more goals. They're guilty of missing two or three excellent chances. But they didn't really have any sustained pressure. It was just counter-attack, counter-attack, counter-attack. We had two big problems. Number one, we've got no pace in the squad, which is a massive issue. So we can't, we couldn't push West Ham back. We couldn't drag West Ham's offensive players back to defend. You wanted Anderson having to defend. You wanted the lad on the right. You wanted Hernandez doing a Perez and having to come back and defend. But they didn't have to because we didn't have the pace. Rondon was isolated as usual. So that was a massive issue. But again, Rondon was isolated against Burnley, but we made up for through space on the wings. And I think Key and Diarmé were picking up the ball and they were looking around and there was literally no one to pass to. They were then passing the ball to each other or dallying on it. I think people were frustrated with Diarmé because Diarmé tried to get forwards a little bit and made a few runs in the box and was found quite well by Shelby and others and then just bad first touch. I mean, I've just written a match report for the Truth Here sites and everyone is on Perez. I'm going to go into individual performance, but everyone's on Perez and Diarmé's back. Diarmé was bought as a number 10 for the second division because Dwight Gayle's small. So someone needed to win the long balls from Matt Sells. That was the plan. Didn't happen, though, did it? Someone was supposed to win the long balls. And that was pretty much what I think Diarmé was bought for. And he's put in 40 or 50 excellent performances. Maybe not that many. Freddie Castle in centre midfield and Key cost an out. And I thought Key had a reasonable game yesterday. Tired and he wilted. But he was definitely one of the better players. So I don't think central midfield was a problem. Richie and Kennedy were just like beyond parody in terms of how ineffectual they were. I mean, Kennedy couldn't control the ball. And then you had Perez. People are saying he missed guilty chances. I don't even think the chances he missed were that bad. He was through in the box once he got played in and fucked up, but he was offside, so it doesn't matter. He should have done better with that header, but it's a hard technique to do going away from goal. And apart from that, I can't think of a chance
to create. He had one at the end of the first half where he went through like pretty much one on one, and I mean from the left side, and it's on his left foot.
It was tight angle.
So it was.
He should do better.
That's my point. They like tested our keeper from that spot. In fact, they even scored. I think they scored basically like similar to here. The one of Hernandez got the second Hernandez goal. I think it was quite a. Anderson Silva won the third one. They scored theirs. We missed ours. So. That was the frustration.
The major thing, we've been saying it, and again, I don't want to just give the manager a pass here because it was the same in the Championship. When the other team score first, we get beat.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any ideas. We don't have any plans. It is a problem, and it's something the manager should have addressed by now because it happened in the Championship. When we concede first, we've got a plan A, and the players are well-drilled, and they're very good for plan A, but there is no plan B. And we did Leicester, Brighton, West Ham... You know, it's fair enough saying Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, you know, those teams, we'll give them a game at St James's and we did. Arsenal maybe we didn't, but the others we did. And that's true, and it was good not conceding five goals at Man City and having a go. When you lose 3-0 at home to West Ham, that argument becomes a bit more difficult to stomach because we may as well have had a fucking go at Chelsea, Arsenal, you know what I mean? Like, then getting absolutely spanked by West Ham and Leicester. But ultimately, if we concede the first goal, you know, people talk about boycott Wolves. If we go 1-0 down, we may as well just... Jack, you know, nick off because we're just, I mean, the Leicester game, I was saying to Norman, was very similar to yesterday where we literally didn't look like landing a punch. And if you look at the performances against Watford and Bournemouth in particular, but Burnley as well, particularly Watford and Bournemouth, how many chances were created in that last 30 against Watford and particularly against Bournemouth, it's a mentality thing and it's a mindset thing. It's not purely tactical and it's something the manager's never managed to get on top of while he's been here. And I imagine we need to get a grip on it soon because, Norman, you were right. You just thought West Ham were going to go for this early on. Now, we missed the first goal walking in late, which we're going to come on to, but I've seen a replay of it, and the defendant for it is just absolutely criminal. To have one of West Ham's two strikers completely unmarked in the box is dire. You know, we spoke to our mate who didn't go in 11 minutes late, who stands with us. We're all friends. We respect everyone's opinion. He was basically saying, we did all right before the goal. We'd carved out a couple of opportunities and we're probably the better side. But I look at yesterday and I look at the football that we saw for the, 79 minutes. And I just thought West Ham should have won that game 4-5-0. And it's concerning that West Ham are a mid-table Premier League side. And I thought the movement of Anderson, Arnautovic and Hernandez was inspired. And we should have been playing about 5 or 10 yards deeper than we were, but it's hard when you're 1-0 down to do that. Mickey, would you say it's a fair assessment to say that game is what Watford would have been like had Watford taken one of that many chances?
That's a good argument. I hadn't thought about it like that.
Put forward by Howard, a podcast listener. It's a great point, Howard.
Potentially, yeah. I think we all forget about that Watford game now because it was a few wins ago, but we were incredibly fortunate not to concede that day, and Watford were in the square boots. There's an argument, and that frames the whole season completely differently. Our whole season, sorry, completely differently. If we lose that game, I don't know whether we go on this little mini run that we've had.
Mick, I'd say that does. If thinking negatively for a minute, if John Joe Shelby doesn't get injured against Watford, are we still without a win? Probably not. But you know that was a huge key coming on in that game to transform the season.
And share, but we've had that argument many times.
I will have.
But yeah, I think you saw the kind of reaction from the team yesterday at the second goal. Now it's easy to say that when it's a second goal, but you know they were never going to completely stop having any sort of attacking impetus after conceding so early on. But the second goal just put us to bed, and there was no chance. I mean, we could play that from 2-0, we could have played that 100 million times, and we would never get back into the game. So yeah, I think that is a good point, and I'm probably right. Depressingly, it's fine margins, isn't it?
Lads, where do we go from here? I know, obviously, Norman, you said that
we're off to Everton on Wednesday.
You are Ben and Greensuit will be reporting for True Faith with a match day podcast for patrons and a podcast after the game. Rob will be there as well. So True Faith we'll try and go to every single game, and we'll be reporting from Everton. Norman, you know, is it? Some people have called it back to the drawing board, a panic. You know, not a panic, but a wake up call. Would you agree with that, or do you think the problems are more systemic and kind of rather than just one bad performance, it being indicative of the fact that we are actually a bad side? Like, where do you fall in it? Do you think that this is just one of those games, or are there louder warning bells for you?
Two things before I comment on that. I've just looked at the True Faith match report, and we got a point yesterday, 0-0. So I'm happy about that.
I'll go and change that now. I'll change that while recording.
And also,
people, if someone hadn't watched the match, they'll be thinking, "Why is this bloke kicking off?" Decent points.
Also, Ben, just try not to like vomit on a bar floor in Liverpool this time. Quick bit of advice for you there, mate.
I can't promise anything. Can't promise anything.
And also, I think Fabianski did make a save yesterday, Shea, when he came in at the near post and put a grass cutter in the near post. I think if that had gone in, it would have been ones each. So there you go. And there's a positive. We nearly equalised at one point. Mate, that's a really difficult question to answer, because I think, you know, there are problems at the club. There are systemic problems at the club. We know that. We know the squad. There's a paucity of quality in the squad. We know that. We know Raf hasn't been given enough money. We know that there are going to be occasions where we just get tonked by teams because the teams have got better players. Not because they've got a better manager, not necessarily because they're better organised, not because they've got players with bigger hearts, but just purely down to the fact they've got players who are just fucking better. And that's what happened yesterday. The thing is, in order for us to get points, because of the lack of quality in the squad, we have to be on it every single match. Like, concentration levels have to be 100%. Players have to be playing at the absolute fucking maximum of capacity for it to get anything. Whereas other teams in the Premier League, like, they don't necessarily need to be like that, especially against us as well. You know, West Ham yesterday, there's an argument you could say those players in their team, they're probably paid to like 60-70% of their actual fucking capabilities. And we dropped maybe 20% in our performance, and we got absolutely rinsed. We got rinsed. A wake-up call. I mean, I don't think any of us were particularly sleepy in any ways, were we? You know, we had the optimism. Obviously, you know, that kind of misplaced optimism that you get when your team wins two or three games off the bounce. When I say your team, I mean Newcastle, war team. But at the same time, I think, you know, deep down in our heart of hearts, we know what the limitations of this squad are, and we all know that there are going to be, you know, inverted commas, these wake-up calls. Gant Everton on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it is, I have to be honest, I've got zero confidence we'll get anything from that game. Everton are a fucking brilliant side, and if their players turn up and stick in 50% of effort, even us at full capacity, there's every likelihood we'd still lose because they're just better than us. Wolves on Saturday, as ridiculous as this might sound because it's December, is in effect a six-pointer. It's hugely important, and I think that's where our kind of real energies and our real battle lies. We know we need to bring players in at Christmas, two or three players. during the January transfer window. Will we? Probably not, because that's, you know, to make Ashley's Newcastle. But there's no definitive answer I can give to you, mate. We've just, you know, we've got a squad of players that needs to be at 100% of maximum capabilities every time in order for us to get something, and sometimes they're not. Yesterday they weren't, and we got battered.
Fair comments. It certainly feels much bigger to me, but, you know, I was in the car recording this podcast on the way back from Burnley, absolutely bouncing, saying we're looking up, not down. So it's funny what difference five, six days makes. But we're football fans and we're contrary, and this happens. Ben, you know, you've got your positives with your block shots. Do you think that, you know, considering the run we've been on and considering this is the Premier League, that there's every chance that we'll go to Everton and get a win and we'll turn over Wolves? Do you think it's that kind of team where we have the ability that when we're on song, like Norman says, or when everyone turns up, when everyone's like focused and we get the first goal, that we can beat definitely all the teams in the bottom half? Are you kind of positive going into that game? Are you going to Everton thinking, I just hope it's not as bad as it was in 2016 when we went and got humped 3-0?
I've got absolutely no hope of going there for a win. I'm just hoping I'll see a few block shots. I think it's one of those that I do think
I've got the giggle. That's fucking tickled me, that thing. Thank you.
I think I can see it being another Everton 3-0 like we witnessed a few years ago, and I don't know. It's just I don't know. There's just been the lingering feeling like this season's been really, really difficult. I mean, I'm still of the opinion that we're still in the relegation scrap. I mean, I know you were saying there we're looking up after the Burnley game, but realistically, as you said, we've put in a half performance against Watford and managed to luckily win it. Bournemouth were brilliant. Bournemouth was absolutely like top class. But Bournemouth is the standard sort of that we set ourselves last season and played really well in. And then Burnley on Monday, we started out the block really quickly and got a few goals, but then actually we're probably allowed far too much too much of the play and gave Burnley opportunity to get back in the game. So I suppose you could say was yesterday that much of a surprise, because I mean, again, we've allowed West Ham to come on and sort of take the pick at what chances they want to create. I think Everton, as you say, are a better team. I mean, I expect they've got more players that can directly hurt us. You mentioned World Cup before. Everton have got some real pace, which just seems to be our kryptonite at the minute. We just can't handle fast teams with fast players that are direct, that'll have a go at it. So I'm not massively confident. Having said that, I mean, I guess, as you say, if Lascelles is to come in and we can short that back four, or back three and or five or whatever he decides to go with, we've seen it from the players before, that siege mentality, that like we can grind out performances, and I suppose it puts Diomi, I mean, just to come back to Diomi, you said it's like when Diomi's got to get on the ball and has to sort of contribute attacking wise, he can't do it, he's not that type of player. However, when you put him just in front of the defenders, just running, basically shuttling 20 yards left to right, winning the ball back, he's brilliant at that. So if that's the type of performance that would, if that's the sort of the game, the way the game's going to go against Everton, it might play into our hands, because I think our players are naturally suited to sort of trying to defend and keep games tight. And I think that's one of the things you said before about when we go a goal down, that's the issue, is that we don't have players that are comfortable taking a game to other teams, that our sort of default reaction and our comfort level is when we're defending, chasing the ball around, because we've got hard working players. They're not particularly skillful or have that much ability, but they're hard working, and that's sort of the equaliser. So again, I mean, I expect Everton are going to dominate more than West Ham are, so there's every potential that we'll get a hiding, but sort of on the flip side, it'll play into our players' hands a little bit, that they'll not be expected to sort of push on as much. I'm not confident for it. I mean, I don't think it's going to suit us, but I'm hoping there will be a few changes, because again, I think we need a reaction. And I know obviously Shelvey came on, you mentioned Lascelles there. There's a few sort of options there, but it's not enough, and that's the frustrating thing. It's the options that we've got aren't enough. I mean, Krishnatsu came on yesterday, and I do wonder why Rafa's persevering with him when you have got Murphy that's a young prospect that has shown a little bit more in the past, doesn't get an opportunity. So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, fair enough. We've done 35 minutes on that game, which is more than I thought we'd manage to get out of it. Mickey, moving on to 11-minute walk-in. I think Norman knew something really well yesterday, that one of the reasons people are protesting is because Newcastle's right-hand side yesterday after Richie went off. Richie's going to miss Everton as well because he's suspended for another stupid booking. You know, Newcastle's right-hand side was Mankio and Atsu. Mankio and Hosolu.
Oh, man, this is it.
Which is
Everton,
which is just like...
Sorry, mate. Everton have got fucking Cheng Tosun on the bench, right? £27 million centre-forward. We brought on Hosolu and put him on the left fucking wing. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's just fucking ridiculous, isn't it?
Hosolu and Mankio, like... There's lads playing in the league. Sunderland playing, like, wouldn't take that in their side. ultimately... you know,
do you want Mankio or Hosolu? You're right.
I'll take Hosolu. A striker, no right winger. I just have to criticise Rafa a little bit more on the Rafa criticism week. This playing Perez out wide once, you know, he moved Perez out wide before he got taken off. It's just like, stop it, mate. Like, he's having a tough time as it is playing through the middle where he actually plays, like, out wide. He kind of did. But anyway, Mickey, 11th minute walk in. How many, because we were Gallagher upper, how many people were on the corner concourse before you went up? Was there many? Was there less than you expected? More than you expected? More, how was it? And what did people say to you?
Yeah, there was more than I expected. The concourse was full, like completely full, which I was quite pleased to see. I didn't think there would be anywhere near as big an uptake as there was, although I did expect if there was going to be an uptake anywhere, it would be in that corner or over anywhere else in the grounds. Just as before we start talking about the fans' reactions, just a quick thumbs up to Mike Ashley, who turned the tallies off in the concourse. The spiteful, bitter little prick that he is.
But they don't care, though, do they? It makes no difference to them. Protests.
Yeah, but they have reacted. So it's interesting that that happened. Coming into the stand, I think it was kind of a weird sort of moment, because obviously West Ham had just fucking scored, which is absolutely typical that it would happen at that time. And then once I'd taken my seat, I didn't personally notice any booing, but there's this guy behind me that was going absolutely off it. He's an absolute bell end as well, and I told him as much yesterday. But he
Offered it you?
It was at the fans that came in after 11 minutes, and he said it was our fault that West Ham had scored and that we should have been in.
Whose fault was it when Bournemouth scored the other week?
Well, it's absolutely pathetic, isn't it? And he was like, you should have been getting behind the team. And I was like, hang on a fucking second. Like, I'm here every week singing start to finish. You've never piped up once in the fucking 10 years I've sat in these seats. You can literally get the fuck. Just the attitude to blame, like... What realistically was what, maybe 1,000 fans, 1,500 fans? It's those 1,500 fans' fault that West Ham scored. Have a fucking day off. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a ridiculous attitude to have, and just sums up the mentality of some of our fucking fan base. And there's plenty more things we can complain about with the fan base for yesterday, but that one was the one that annoyed me the most. Just
was he still
just
in 5 minutes to go, Mickey?
Oh, he stayed till the end. Like, he made a scene of himself yesterday, because obviously he'd called all of us out for not getting behind the team, so he had to make it seem like that's what he really does, when in fact he doesn't do that at all in any single game for 10 years, apart from yesterday. And even then, it was pointless, just him screaming at the team, come on. Like, no positive support. So that's, I mean, that totally soured my day. I was so annoyed after that, like, and deflated that was the attitude of some of our families. And I bet that kind of situation, that argument, was replicated all around the ground for people that came in late. I just think it's really sad. And, you know, I think most people with this 11th minute walk-in have tried at least to be open-minded and to allow people to make their own decisions. And obviously we as a podcast have sort of lent one way, but we haven't criticised anyone for doing differently. And I certainly didn't go into the ground yesterday and start shouting at him for going in and not supporting the protests. So to have that attitude of instantly kicking off with people and being divisive is just fucking pathetic. And one of many things that happened yesterday that makes me think that we almost get what we deserve as a fan base.
Tough one, isn't it? We were Block V, so we were Gallagher up, but there were less people than I thought. Still reasonable numbers, maybe maybe about a few hundred.
Yeah, I would have said that.
At our part of the ground, it makes me think there's about 3,000 people walked in late, which still is a very small amount. No one, I mean, Craig Hope has reported on fans booing each other, people who were in from the start booing those who came in late. That seemed to have happened right in the corner. Mark Corby said he got booed. There was none of that in the Gallagher Upper. Everyone was fine. I was really disappointed by the number of people from Block V who were in their seats. I mean, you can do what you want, support the team how you want, but it's, you know, we'll have to be honest, and I'm going to be critical of the Magpie group. It hasn't worked. Yeah, it hasn't worked. Whatever they set out to achieve, it has not worked, which is such a shame. I mean, I could be critical about a lot of things, but I'm not going to be.
I was going to say, hang on a minute, just like you're saying you want to be critical of them, but it's not what you say it hasn't worked. I don't think you can be critical of them because it hasn't worked. They've tried to, the whole point of this is it's trying stuff. It's not, it does it, not everything, we've said before it, not everything's going to be a success, but at least they're trying stuff.
Well, yeah, I was just about to say that, yeah. I was just about to say I could be critical. I could say you could do this better. You could do this. Why the 11-minute walkout and why the boycott in consecutive weeks makes no sense. But ultimately, it's better to try and fail than not to try at all. And you know what? Mike Ashley wasn't at the game yesterday. I personally know how thin-skinned he is. I reckon it's something to do with he was terrified that the stadium was going to be empty after 11 minutes. It was going to reflect badly on him to his mates. So he probably tells lies too about how much everyone loves him. I mean, this is a bloke who spends hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pounds a year on PR to massage the news and massage his image, and people say he doesn't give a fuck. Bollocks. He cares very much about public perception and what people think of him. But yeah, it hasn't worked. I don't criticise anyone from the Magpie group for trying, and they've done more than me or you, most people listening, in trying to force change in Newcastle United, and for that they have my respect. I would have done a lot of things differently, but I didn't. I've just sat here and done a podcast and supported them broadly, but it's such a shame it hasn't worked. And this is not, please, I don't want people to take this as a criticism. This isn't aimed at the people who didn't walk in late or aren't going to boycott. Mike Ashley and Lee Charney, take your attendance as
reinforcement.
What's the right word? As like
validation,
as a positive, as validation of what they're doing. Lee Charney and Mike Ashley genuinely believe that the majority of fans like the way they run the club. Now, that, of course, is nonsensical. But when you surround yourself by lies, when you read what you want to read, that doesn't mean that you are validating them. I'm not saying that. How they want to twist things, that's just what they do. That's how they spin. They will see that as a victory yesterday. They'll see it as, actually, people are behind what we're doing. Now, of course, it's nonsensical. You might be going if Rafa goes. You might be thinking of dragging it in. You might think that they're the worst people in the world, but you still want to go to the match. That's fine. So it's not, these comments aren't aimed at you or your actions. Even if 100,000, well, not 100,000, even if 50,000 people did boycott the game next weekend, which we're pretty certain is not going to happen, they would still manage to spin it in some way. But I promise you, having sat in front of them, having sat in a room with them, Lee Charney thinks that it is a small number of deliberate agitators who have a problem with the way the club is run. They think that they do a good job running Newcastle United, and that broadly, because of the high attendances, of which everyone doing this podcast is one, we all have season tickets, the fact that we'll continue to turn up is validation for the way they run the football club, and people are actually quite comfortable with the way the club is run as a whole. I think that's total bollocks, and I think they're wrong. But that's why I went in 11 minutes late yesterday. Doesn't mean that if you did go in a minute one, or if you're not boycotting last week, that you do think the club is well run, or you give them any validation whatsoever. That's just how they choose to look at it, and it's my own personal reason for boycotting next week. Norman, do you think they should call the whole thing off, the boycott? Do you think they should just say, we tried, it hasn't taken off? If people aren't going to walk in 11 minutes late, they're not going to fucking boycott. Do you think they should turn around and say, listen, we may as well just get behind the team because we need the points?
Genuinely, mate, I can't give a sort of justifiable opinion one way or the other on that. Like everything you said there, I think what they're doing is incredibly admirable, and they're trying to force change, and fucking fair play for doing it, because as you say, you know, 49,000 other people aren't, basically. I want to get behind the team, but at the same time, I want change. So I genuinely can't answer the question. How do I feel about next week? Well, I'm boycotting, but it's not necessarily an actual choice to boycott. I just can't get into the match, so I'm kind of and to be perfectly honest with you, I wouldn't be able to make a decision on whether or not I was getting in, and probably until Saturday morning. A bit like yesterday.
Matches on Sunday, you know.
Well,
matches on Sunday.
Well, you know, I was planning in advance. I wouldn't be able to make a decision until my gut instinct kicked in, which would probably just be a few hours before the match, like it was yesterday. You know what? I think it's too early to write it off as being unsuccessful. I think movements like this kind of grassroots movement, which is what it is, you know, there can be slow burners. There can be one thing that happens in February which just fucking flips the switch. The transfer window in January, Ashley not spending money, the club being in the bottom three, could fucking flip a switch in thousands more people. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, if they keep going, then I support them in doing that, because I think it's just a little bit too early to say it hasn't been a success. Let's just see where it goes.
What they should have done was they should have come out and said, oh, and we also organised an impromptu last minute five minutes to go walkout, because the stadium was empty at the end of the match. And you said at the start, Dodgy, I was fuming walking out. Like that was because of that. And you think, like, reactions off people like Mickey's bloke who was giving him stick, like that's the issue I've got with people, is that if you're not going to support like the boycotts or the walk-ins and all that sort of stuff, fine, like, yeah, it's completely agree, it's, everyone's got their own opinions.
Can I just add the terms of the Magpie group, if they keep going, I think there's almost like a sense of not being able to quite believe that like Rafa's going to be going at the end of the season. I think people still have this kind of tiny fucking flicker of hope that he'll stay. Well, that's just horseshit. It's not happening. And the reason it's not happening is because of Mike Ashley. Now, as I say, if we get to sort of January, February, the Magpie group is still going, and the reality starts sinking in that, you know, we're in a relegation battle. We haven't gone out and bought the players we want. Rafa's definitely going to go at the end of the season. That's when the fucking, you know, that's when more people might be mobilised, and that's when more people might just gonna actually
And that's why I have an issue with there being both an 11-minute walk-in and a boycott in consecutive weeks. That, to me, seems illogical, disruptive, and was going to cause the most issue between the fan base. And that now you've seen the fact that so few people have decided to walk in late, I'm almost thinking next week, like, I've planned to boycott the match. I just think, is it literally going to be like, you know, a couple of hundred people who do it? And as much as I want to boycott, and I will still boycott, I'm almost like, well, I feel like it's been because of mismanagement or bad planning, my direct action has just been wasted. So should I do it at all? Maybe that's just being gratuitous, you know. Maybe we made a commitment, we said we're going to boycott, and if there's only a few hundred or a couple of thousand do it, then
well, ask yourself this, mate, would you not boycott because enough people aren't doing it, or because you genuinely just don't want to boycott? Like, you know, that if you genuinely believe that this, you know, this boycott is a way of you kind of voicing or you showing your disdain for the new Newcastle regime, then you should boycott if that's how you feel.
Well, then, yeah, I suppose, yeah. I mean, I will. I'm not going to. I mean, me and Mickey have made plans during the boycott.
Don't worry, lads. They can be cancelled if the lasses are listening.
let's just give you my 2 pence with, because I'm going to have to love yous and leave yous, I'm afraid. But I still fully intend to boycott next weekend. I think everything yous have said is right, and Dodds in particular, the plan of this hasn't worked and hasn't been particularly good. But movements like this need to build momentum, and if people like us that completely back the idea drop out of it the first sign of frustration, I think it's going to fall flat on its arse. It needs people that are fully behind the lads that are organising this stuff to keep on doing it, even in the face of adversity and when it looks like it's not going to be as effective as we hoped. To keep doing it, to build that momentum and give us the chance. Come January, when we spend no money and Rafa confirms he's going to leave, that's when people are going to, like, the wider fan base are going to be looking for something to cling on to and looking for people to point them in the right direction of how we can try and do something about it. So we need to build that foundation now for the second half of the season when the shit's going to hit the fan. So I'll be missing the match next week. I'm gutted about it because I think we're going to win, but that's what Mike Ashley has done to this football club and done to us as fans. It's
That's the thing with it, that would, like, you're not any less of a fan for getting involved in this. Like, we all still went to the game. We've all still got our season tickets. We're going to support the team. And you know what? Like, the 51,500 or whatever it was that didn't get involved in any of the sort of protesting and maybe even might have.
Can't believe the West Ham fans walking on fire, bastards.
Absolutely fuming. Disgrace. They're a disgrace. But it's like the fact that there was a hell of a lot more than that, like, not left at the end of the game, like, not supporting the team, like, that's what I can't accept, and that's what I was so angry about, was that they're meant to be the ones sort of going supporting the team, and they weren't there when the team needed it. I mean,
I think you have to be careful, but you have to be careful, Ben, to say that everyone who walked in 11 minutes late also stay at the end, because I don't think that's true.
Right, well, yeah, fair enough.
I know what you're saying, but you don't want to cross
the two. I haven't said that, to be fair. What I'm saying is that the people that and that's, I suppose, what I was going to say was as well, like, it's not necessarily that all those people that left early were the ones sort of giving people stick, but it's just frustrating that, like, I don't understand why there was that big a mass walkout with 5 minutes still to go, like. And it was just, it spurred obviously the lads around us obviously started getting the chance going, just singing Rafa's Black and White Army for sort of basically the last 10 minutes and 5 minutes sort of beyond that. It was sort of like an act of defiance, but it's just, like, at what point, that I suppose what I'm getting at is, at what point is breaking point for these people to realise that, like, this, get used to this, because this is what Mike Ashley's Newcastle United will do. Like, how many times are you going to have to leave a game early? Frustrated, and it's out of frustration. Nobody left Bournemouth when we were absolutely smashing Bournemouth last week. Do you know what I mean? Nobody left. They weren't leaving 5 minutes early then. So at what point is the penny going to drop that, like, either you get used to this and, like, sort of accept that that's what's going to happen, and you stick with the team, because that's the point. We're all there, support is to support the team. Like, at what point is your support, like, where do you draw the line to stop supporting the team? And that's what frustrated us, was that just there was a lot of people gave up on the team yesterday. And yes, everyone will have their own reasons for doing it. And I'm not suggesting that you're any less of a fan for doing it, but it's just, it was like a fickle, like, why? We've seen worse performances from that team than yesterday. And yet we've not seen that sort of type of reaction. And it was just really, really frustrating that there was that. And the other thing that I thought was really surprising was it's the lack of anti Ashley songs and the sort of the lack of, like, detest. He doesn't need to be there. Like, he's going to have his spies there that, like, will listen. And again, I suppose it just reinforces it reinforces the thing that you said, whereby they live in this their own little world where they don't think that they think everybody's back in what they're doing, like. Again, another thing of that is how much, like, abuse is thrown their way. If it's not even sung about, if there's not even any, like, sort of any voicing of, like, a concern against the regime, then it's another thing where they're going to think, oh, it's only a few people. Like, I think a lot of the songs that we sing on My Cup of Tea, like, they're wishing them to be dead and all that sort of stuff. I don't join in with that, but there's other songs that we could sing that are anti-Ashley. That people could get involved in. And I mean, it was only 4 or 5 games ago where we were singing Stand Up If You Want Ashley Out or whatever it was, and the whole stadium basically stood up. And that was a one-off occasion, and nothing like that happened again. And they've tried to do it again, and there's been no reaction from the crowd. It's just, I don't understand that many people standing up at that point. It was literally, there was a large portion of the stand of the stand stood up. And yet we like, we're back to square one again, because just, it, as I say, I don't know if it's an apathy or what. I mean, the issue is it's, we're not saying, like, don't support the team. Like, we go in to support the team. We want to see Rafa's team do well. But there needs to be more action against the ownership. And it was one of the things at the TFM fans forum where the lads from Glasgow and Liverpool came down to speak to her. like they said, there's going to be tough times. There's going to be a lot of people telling you that you're selling your sort of you're selling out the team and you're this and you're that, and there's not going to be a lot of traction always and a lot of support for the things that you're trying. But that's where I wanted to be careful what you were saying before about saying it was a criticism of it, because then we need to carry on doing this, and it's not going to be something that happens for, like, works first time. It's something that's going to be attritional, and we're going to have to keep doing these things, and it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I'd much rather be at the game supporting the team, watching the team, rather than boycotting. But and this has been tried before, and we've not got involved necessarily in boycotts in the past, and these like walk-ins and walk-outs and things like that. But like, it's getting to a point where I suppose it's where, what's your breaking point? And I think just the more people that get to a situation where they're not, that they realise that, oh, do you want to see Newcastle United starved like this for years and years to come with Mike Ashley at the helm? Or do you want to start trying to sort of do something to support getting them out? And it's not necessarily going to be, it's not like the Magpie Group are going to be the ones to get rid of Mike Ashley, of course they're not. But we need to try and do something as a fan base to facilitate that.
Well said, Ben. I think we'll leave it there. We've done nearly an hour. So my thanks to you, Norman and Mickey. Thanks to everybody who listens. We really appreciate it. We'll be back. We will do a podcast after Wolves next Sunday night, not having been at the game. And we're going to do lots on Patreon this week about boycotts. We're not a boycott. Try and get a range of views, all that kind of stuff. So do give it a go if you do like this podcast. We would appreciate it massively. And let's hope we get at least 3 points out of the next two games and start looking up the league again. Thanks for listening.